Well, good morning, everybody. Are y'all happy to be here this morning? Are you happy to be here? You know, I'm gonna. The Lord has been laying this in my spirit, you know, and it's how we got to this day, you know. You know, we really got to really understand what our Lord Jesus Christ went through to get to this day. Do we really understand what he went through, the beatings he took? When they placed that corn, Lord, he's ready. He's moving. He's going to move today. I feel it. Oh, Lord. When they throwed them crown of thorns on the top of his head and the blood poured out from where they pressed it on him so hard, do you realize the pain that that man had to endure? And I did say man because the Lord sent him down here in a fleshly body to save us from our sins. Boy, I'm telling you, the Lord has been on me about this for the last week or so. I'm telling you, he wants to move, you know. But we need to understand what he went through, you know. There's so many people say, why does the Lord allow things to happen? Do you realize what he did and went through to save you? Do you know the pain that he went through when he carried that cross up on the mountain to be crucified on? The man had to carry that own cross after he'd been beaten, after he bled so much blood all over everything. Do you realize how much pain? So why should we not have pain? Why should we not have to go through pain? We're not no better than him. He come to save us, not us save him. We've got to understand that. We cannot put things aside saying, why does the Lord? He is no respecter of persons. You know, he went through so much that we can't even imagine. We can't even imagine. We need to start thanking him every day, every minute, that you're up and awake, that you're breathing. Because that man went through so much that we can't even imagine. He died for us. We need to give him praise all the time, not just in church. You know, when you're floating down the river and things ain't going in your way, you know, the way you want it to go, the fish ain't biting. You know, I like to go fishing. I like to be out on my boat on the river. But, you know, the fish don't always bite. But I'm thanking the Lord that I can float down this river and see some of the beauty that he made. You know, allow me to do that. He died for me. You know, that I don't have to be stuck somewhere in a tent, drugged up out of my mind, don't know what to do and don't know where to turn. He saved me, so I'm not like that. But there is people that is, and we need to pray for them and bring him to him, because he did that for everybody. The drunkard, the drug addict, the pornography, everything. He did it for everybody, you know, and that's where this day is coming from. We led up to this day. The man went through so much just for us to praise him. We need to praise him. So as we get started today, I challenge you, don't stand there and hold that pew down today. Don't hold the pew down. This man died for you. Let's lift him up. Lift your hands up today. You know, let's pray for Adam as he begins this service today, Lord. We need to be praying for him that the Lord anoints him greatly today. Woo, Lord. Lord, dear Lord in heaven, I come to you in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, I'm asking you to move greatly today, Lord. As Lord, as we come to lift you up, Lord, because you died on that cross for us, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord. Lord, we just need to thank you for every day that we have, Lord, with us, Lord. We ask you to take us by our hand, Lord, and see us through, Lord. And Lord, I'm asking you to anoint Brother Adam today, Lord, as he begins to preach your word, Lord. Lord, I ask you to touch him greatly today, Lord. Lord, I ask you to just bless the people here, Lord, and the ones watching, Lord. I ask you to take them by their hand, Lord. And Lord, as we begin to worship you, Lord, I ask you, if you got anything, Lord, you move on these people today. today, Lord. You bless them with your presence, Lord. You move on them, Lord. And if there's anybody here that needs a great touch, Lord, I ask you to just touch them greatly, Lord, and move on Anna Kate today, Lord, as she begins to sing, Lord. And we just thank you and give you all the praise for everything, Lord. I thank you. Amen.
The kind of God that I serve. That's the kind of God that I serve.
Amen. All right, here we go. We're happy to be here on Easter Resurrection Sunday morning. Amen. That was very good, Brian. That was very good. And the singers and musicians. We're going to take up the tithes and offerings now. And you know how many have watched some of the camp meeting services in Baton Rouge, maybe? And we've seen our pastors there. And, you know, tithes and offerings, it goes back all the way to Genesis. Amen. The order of Melchizedek. Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, who was a type of Christ, who was a type of Jesus Christ, of God Almighty. Amen. And Jacob gave tithes of all his cattle, and the Lord blessed him, and the Lord will bless you this morning. Amen. If you pay your tithes, so whatever you have to bring, bring it this morning. Amen. This is a good church. Amen. And I'll speak about that more in my message, but this is a good church. We're not doing Easter egg hunts and all that kind of stuff. This is a church that's here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, Lord God. We thank you, God, for everyone who's gathered together here on this Easter Resurrection Sunday morning, Lord Jesus. We thank you for rising from the grave 2,000 years ago, God, to go to the cross, to die on that cross, to save us from our sins, Lord Jesus. We pray that you bless everyone who gives this morning, Lord God, because we know that this is a good work, God. This is a good church, God. We are doing your work right here, Lord Jesus, and they can give their money to any millions of churches across this world, Lord God, but this is a good church. This is good ground that's going to be sowed here, and we're going to grow and expand, and the gospel is being preached, Lord Jesus, and I believe that souls are going to be saved, and they have been saved, and we're going all over the world to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, Lord God. Thank you for this church and this service this morning, God. Please anoint me as I preach, Lord God, and please anoint the people as they give this morning, God, as we lift up your holy and precious name this Easter Sunday morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Is there something in your heart between you and the Lord? Are you drifting apart, not as close anymore? There's nothing you can do that He will not forgive. Bring it to the cross and let it die so you can. Are you struggling for strength? Do you long to lay it down? Don't take another step. Just kneel where you stand. Lay it at the cross and take the hand. Flood, nail it a burden you bear that's got you battered and bound? Are you struggling for strength, and do you long to lay it down? Don't take another step, just kneel where you stand. Lay it at the cross and take the hammer in your hand. Nail it to the cross, get it under the blood. Drown your pain in every stain and mercy flood.
Amen. Got voice now. Amen. All right. Well, pray for me. Are y'all happy this Easter Sunday morning? Brian was all over my message, man. That was really good. You need to be up here. Amen. And you were up here. Amen. All right. Well, thank everybody for everything that we're doing. And like I said, we've watched some of the camp meeting services, and that me and Luke watched that Tommy Bates on Thursday night, and that cracked us up when he had those seven guys. And the guy from Georgia, can you get up here and do it, Luke? He went, woo, woo, woo. Oh, and that was good last night, but the palm trees. And the best thing about it was, saw Pastor Thomas and Melissa and Michaela, and they were the first ones up there. He gave a little altar call for the pastors that were still there, and he was the first one up there, I think. So that's why we're here. Amen. This church is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. As I always say, we could be in a million other churches, and y'all could too. But I've been Methodist, and I've been Baptist, and I've been Church of God. And now I'm non-denominational Pentecostal, and that's what we believe. Amen. Not that there's not some good Church of God churches, because there is Pentecostal churches, but we're so thankful to be here, and like I said, that's why we're here. That's why we pay our tithes here, and that's why we come here, is because the gospel of Jesus Christ can be preached without fear. Amen. We can preach. And I'm going to just start off. We just want the Holy Spirit to have his way this morning. Amen. And I'm just going to start off. I just feel led to say this, but start off political, but it affects the church. Amen. Say, don't talk about politics or whatever. You have to. Amen. You have to. This is the last of 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 the last days. You have to talk about politics, because if President Trump wasn't in office when COVID hit, nobody would have been allowed to go to church. Amen. If the wrong people are in the governor's mansion in Nashville, and we just went to see the governor, and it was a great experience, and he's a very good man, Bill Lee. I believe he's a born-again Christian. And the right people are not in the White House, and the right parties don't get elected. We don't have the freedom to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because if you can't preach about sin, you can't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We love everybody, but we don't love the sin. I work with people. Of course, we're with people all the time. And many of them think they're saved, and my family or friends or whomever are in politics or in the world or in TV. Everybody thinks they're saved. Amen. Everybody thinks they're saved, especially around here. But you ain't saved if you don't preach about sin. If your sins are not under the blood, you are not born again, and you will not go to heaven. Amen. By the way, I want to say this. My daughter playing, we all play sports. So I broke my finger. All I didn't know was broke, and it was my ring finger. And so it swole up. This was a year and a half ago. And so I finally got my wedding ring off, because it just bothered me, because I couldn't ever get it off. And so I kind of worried, you know, if I got hung on something and pulled my whole finger off. So I finally got it off, so I put it on my right hand. So we're not separated or something weird, okay? I just put them, but I do kind of feel funny. It's supposed to be on your left hand, I suppose. I don't know, I suppose. I was hoping I could start a new trend with it on my right hand, but this finger is still swollen, and I never got it fixed. But it don't really hurt, but it was definitely broken, because it never fixed itself. So anyway, listen, I'm going to start off political. I was going to do this at the end, but I'm just going to start off political, and then we're going to get into everything. There's an election. This is election here. It's election in November. Well, something happened just last week, just a few days ago. If you don't like it, then like Pastor Thomas says, clean your ears, or what does he say? Look, clean your fingernails or something. Well, there's three people in the presidential election. It's not just about for president, but that's the big one, right? There's three people in the election. You have a Republican, you have a Democrat, and you have independent, or whatever he wants to call himself. Well, something just happened. And since December, since the end of last year, and I talked to Pastor Thomas about this, and he felt the same way, I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is about to happen. Of course, I'm not a full-time pastor or anything like that, and I'm not a full-time pastor of this church or anything like that. So we're not, certainly not telling you who to vote for or anything like that. But you got three people to vote for. And as I said, something happened a few days ago. RFK Jr. thought about getting Jesse Ventura, the libertarian. He's a former wrestler. I used to watch wrestling when I was little. Former governor of Minnesota. He thought about getting Aaron Rodgers, who got into politics, NFL quarterback. Well, he didn't. And if he would have, I'm just going to tell it like it is this morning. If he would have, President Trump wouldn't have won, I don't think. Because that would have pulled a lot of votes from conservative Republicans, libertarian, which I'm not libertarian. You shouldn't be either, but you would. It's totally up to you. Whoever you vote for, it's totally up to you. Libertarians don't believe in any kind of military, don't believe in any kind of government intervention. I work for the government. I mean, government's good. I do work hard. I do the best I can. So you have three candidates. Well, something happened with RFK Jr. He didn't choose those more conservative guys that would have pulled votes from the conservative base. He chose Nicole Shanahan in the Bay Area, who's a very, very liberal person. I'm not telling you who to vote for. Of course, this church would never do that. But think about it. Very liberal. It's for abortion, of course, all the LGBTQ rights and all that kind of stuff. If you vote for RFK Jr. and Nicole Shanahan, I'm not going to say anything else about it, but you see where I'm coming from. You see where RFK Jr. has went. This is my left side. He's went. He's went. He's went. He's went. He's went. You got three candidates. I just feel like something good is about to happen. I don't think, I know I'm political, but I'm getting my message. I don't think Joe Biden's going to get reelected. I do not. He's 81. I don't. Maybe he will. I don't. Who you vote for is your choice, whatever. I don't think he is. Am I saying Donald Trump's going to get reelected? I don't know. I hope so. I think so. But what I'm saying is we need to pray. All the lawsuits, all the lawfare, all that kind of stuff's played out. He needs prayer, okay? The man needs prayer. You need to pray. I need to pray. I feel like something good is about to happen in this country at the end, the last of the last of the last days, and that's all I'm going to say. But you need to pray. It's big time. Game on. It's big time. You need to pray and see what you can do, what you feel is right. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise on that. There's a water down here. I'm probably going to drink some of it, but I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 28. Don't tell Pastor Thomas that I'm doing this, by the way. I want to tell the Easter story, amen. As I've talked about a little bit, and Brian was all over my message, there's churches everywhere, and I mean everywhere. 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 Let's have an Easter egg hunts this morning. 99.9% of them are having Easter egg hunts this morning. Pastor Thomas says, bunnies don't lay eggs. It's not about a bunny rabbit or Easter eggs. Amen. It's about the resurrection, the crucifixion, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm going to try to preach a message titled The Importance of the Passover. The Importance of the Passover. Let's read the scripture this morning, and then I'll pray. Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to try to go slow here. The resurrection of Christ. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, do not fear, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goes before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail, which means power. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, you say, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Amen. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you, God, in this holy place, God, on Easter Sunday morning, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for what you did 2,000 years ago. The triumphal entry into Jerusalem, being spat upon, being whipped, the crown of thorns on your head, as Brian was talking about, being crucified and raising again on the third day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All power is given unto you in heaven and in earth, Lord Jesus. And we just want the Holy Spirit to be released this morning, to be free, Lord God, to worship you as you please. God, please send your anointing upon me and all these people here, God, that we will love you, we will worship you, we will hear from you, we will be good and faithful servants. Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, as I said, pray for me. But this is the importance of the Passover. And we go back to Exodus chapter 12, the Passover. What was the Passover? Well, as we see the children of Israel in Egyptian bondage. You know, we talk about slavery a lot in this country. I think way too much. That's just mine. That's politically incorrect, but that's just my opinion. Well, the Israelites were slaves. They were Hebrew slaves in Egypt. Slavery has always been in the world, and it's an awful, evil, terrible, sinful, devilish from the pit of hell. But slavery has always been here. There's African tribes enslaving other African tribes right now as we speak. And slavery was awful in this country. But the Egyptians had this Hebrew, the children of Israel, God's children, God's people. God had to have a people. He had to have a nation. He had to have a family. He had to have a people so Jesus Christ would come down the line. I was trying to teach that to my kids in the Sunday school. We're back here in Egyptian slavery, but down here, through David, through Isaiah, through all the prophets, Jesus Christ would be born. He had to have a family. It goes all the way back to Abraham. He had to have a people. Jesus was Jewish. Jesus is coming back for Israel. If you support Hamas and the terrorist, you're evil. John Fetterman, a Democrat, Pennsylvania senator, even said that. How can you support evil rapists and terrorists and murderers? I know that when Israel is invaded in this war, that innocent people have been killed. What are they supposed to do? They've got all their terrorists, all their Hamas terrorists in the basement of schools and hospitals. And what are they supposed to do? There's going to be civilian injuries. But anyway, I digress from that. Support Israel. Jesus was Jewish, and he's coming back for the Jews. Amen. So they're in Egyptian slavery. God finds Moses in the backside of the desert in a burning bush. And he said, I am who I am. Amen. The great I am this morning. Amen. He is the great I am. He said, go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. In that chapter, this morning and yesterday, I've always studied it, but in this part. And it says, I think in Exodus chapter 4, it says he calls Israel, he says, my firstborn Israel is God's people. And you better stay away from God's people. As I said again, I just feel it in my spirit. If you support Muslim terrorists, you are evil from the pit of hell. The Jews are not perfect, but we need to support Israel. I will bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you. The greatest time in this country, when was it? It was in the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, and then all the hippie movement and all the sex, rock and roll, and drugs and stuff started happening in the 60s. You know a big reason why? Because we liberated the Jews in 1948. We stood with Israel, and they became a nation. And that was the greatest time, the greatest generation, the World War II generation, the greatest time in this country, I believe, besides our foundings maybe. It was in the 50s and the 60s, great prosperity. In the 40s after World War II, great, great prosperity. By the 70s, it had started waning because of sin. And I won't get into all that. But we need to support Israel. God sends Moses and Aaron. Moses said he couldn't talk good. Right, Luke? Moses said he couldn't talk good. So he sends his brother Aaron. He said, you go to Pharaoh. Let my people go. As I was saying in Exodus chapter 4, it says, he's told him in the beginning. He said, you let my firstborn son, Israel, go. If not, I will kill your firstborn son. Pharaoh hardened his heart. There was many plagues, the 10 plagues. Moses came to Pharaoh 7 times. The last time he said, you'll see me no more. God told the people the importance of the Passover. God told the people to get a lamb, to roast it with fire, to eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. What does all that represent? The fire represents judgment. There's judgment coming to this world and on this country. Judgment is coming. And if you're not covered by the blood, you're going to be slain. You're going to be killed. You might have a wonderful life. It's a wonderful life. but when you die, you're going to go to hell if you're not covered by the blood. The importance of the Passover. He told them to eat it with haste. He told them to grab some hyssop, which is like grass. It's basically what it is that grew in that part of the world in crevices of the rocks. To dip it in the blood. And to cover your doorpost, cover the header, and cover the sides, which makes a cross. And if you don't do that, if you do that, I will pass over you. I will pass over you. It's the same presently. If you're not covered by the blood, if you don't have the blood smeared on your doorpost, God's judgment is coming upon you and your house and this country and President Biden or whomever, Hollywood actresses, judgment is coming. He said to eat it with unleavened bread. What does that represent? Leaven is a type of sin. Eat it with unleavened bread. The Bible says in Exodus, whosoever shall not do that, whoever has leaven in their house, in their bread, it's a type of sin. It would cause the fermentation process, and it would cause it to rot eventually. Of course, we use leaven now, but if you leave bread out, what happens? It rots, molds, it rots. Unleavened bread, so there would be no type of sin. Bitter herbs to remind us, remind the children of Israel of the slavery in Egypt. We were all slaves to sin at one time. Amen. I've never been in jail, and I've never been a drug addict, and I've never been trapped in homosexuality or bondages of that nature or whatever the case. I have drank alcohol, but I wasn't an alcoholic. My sin is just as great as your sin. Amen. We were all slaves to sin. Everybody's got a different story. Amen. Some people grew up in church. Some people grew up with good families. Some people didn't. Amen. Everybody has a proclivity towards certain types of sin. Amen. Gambling, whatever. Amen. Pornography, lust, whatever. Everybody has a proclivity towards certain types of sin. But the ground is level at the cross. Amen. Every one of us has to have our sins covered by the blood. Whether you got saved when you were 5 or 8 or 99, or like I said, you've been an heroin addict your whole life, or you've just been self-righteous, all of us have to have our sins covered by the blood. The Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. The importance of the Passover. So the death angel comes through. The Bible says there's not one household where someone was not dead. Talking about the Egyptians. Now I'm sure some of them covered their doorpost. Some of them got saved. Amen. But he told the children of Israel to do exactly as I said and to be covered by the blood. What does the Passover represent? The little lamb. Amen. Let's go back further. Genesis chapter 3, the very beginning as we know it. There may have been a time before that, but as we know it, the world that we know it, what happened? The Garden of Eden. Perfect world, perfect environment, yet they still sinned. That was the first people on this earth, as we know. Eve, of course, was tempted, took the fruit, ate it, gave it to her husband. And what did God do? And a lot of people don't think about this. What did God do? Of course, he came, said, Adam, where are you? I hid. We're naked and afraid. We're hid. They lost that enswathing of light that they were living in. And what did God do? He took an animal and killed it. And, you know, I was thinking about this as I was preparing the message. This may be wrong, but I believe it. It's true. That had to hurt God to kill one of his animals that he had just created. He had to kill an animal. And the Bible said he made coverings. Bible, Hebrews chapter 10 says the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. The blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. Okay? It covered the lamb, the blood on the doorpost, the hyssop. It covered sin. God made a covering for Adam and Eve in the form of killing an animal, skinning it, sewing it together, however it happened, and putting it on their bodies to cover their naked bodies. Move forward a little bit more. And Abraham and Isaac said, Father, we've got the wood, we've got all the stuff here. Where is the sacrifice? And Abraham said, God will provide. And God did provide a sacrifice. If we were still living in the old system, our sins could not be taken away. Could not be taken away. They could only be covered. We go a little bit further into Isaiah. Probably my favorite chapter in the Bible. And I'm just going to read it. I'm not real good at memorizing stuff. I know Brother Swagger, he just quotes this whole chapter. I can't do stuff like that. But Isaiah 53, all roads lead to Isaiah 53. Amen. It's right in the middle of the Bible. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. You know, Jesus was rejected. He came to his own, and his own received him not. How much, as Brian was talking about, the thorns, the whips, the scourging, all the terrible things, the crucifixion, the nails in his hands, and piercing of his side. You know what hurt Jesus more? It was the rejection. He came to his own people. That was his own people. He was born as a man to Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem, and they moved to Nazareth in Galilee, which is the north part of Israel. And they rejected him. They totally rejected him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs. He bore our griefs on the cross, amen, and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. You know, they made fun of him. This is the king, as he was on the cross. That he was wounded, hallelujah, for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. There is no one. Levi said that the other day. It's amazing the things he picks up. But he said, no one is perfect. The Bible says no one is perfect. And that is what it said. He's just 6 years old. No one is perfect. No, not one. Jesus said that. The Bible says that. Romans, it says that. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Nobody's perfect. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. All the sins of the world, all our sins are put upon Jesus. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opens not his mouth. You know, he didn't really answer Pontius Pilate. In the end, he finally said, you say it, basically. I am the Son of God. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Isaiah's talking about his people, the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. God called it way back in Exodus, my firstborn son, Israel. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Joseph of Arimathea got the grave, got the body. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. He bore the sins of the whole world. In the beginning, verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. In the beginning, way back in Genesis, it's a lamb. We don't know what God killed, probably a lamb. It was a lamb for a person. In Exodus, the importance of the Passover, it's a lamb for a household. In the great feast, in the days of Israel, and they had the kings, and all the feasts that were instituted, it was the great day of atonement. One day a year, they had a scapegoat that would run free, and they would kill an animal and sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies, in the tabernacle, and in the temple. It was a lamb for the nation. And then John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Hallelujah. A lamb for a person, a lamb for a household, a lamb for a nation, and a lamb, the perfect, spotless Lamb of God, for the whole world. Anyone who believes can receive him. There's judgment coming. I feel like that's what the God wanted me to say. There's judgment coming. You have to be covered by the blood. The blood takes away sin. Amen. And I think I'm going to stop right there, and I want to pray. Amen. You have to be covered by the blood. Listen to this. In Egypt, they were saved from the death angel. They were saved from death, from judgment, by the blood. And guess what else? They were delivered. They were delivered out of Egyptian bondage. That's all we need this morning. Amen. We can be saved by the cross. Are you getting it? We can be delivered by the cross. The Passover, top of the cross. We can be saved and delivered. That's all we need. I know millions of churches have all these programs, and I've been involved in them. And I've been, whatever, teachers or counselor with it or whatever. All these programs, the state, the government, instituting all these mental health programs, all these behavioral modification programs. You can be delivered. If you get saved, you can be delivered. Amen. The same way that you got saved. It's called the message of the cross. Amen. That's all you need is the cross. It's all we need to preach is the cross. It's what we need to tell people about is the blood. Amen. Back in Exodus 2, I think it was, you know, Moses' wife, God told him to circumcise that child. Moses' wife didn't like it. She basically said, "I don't want that bloody religion. The life of the flesh is in the blood." Jesus had to pour out his blood. Circumcision, which is another type, is bloody. Amen. It's cutting of the flesh. It's cutting of the skin, and God instituted that with the Abrahamic covenant, I believe. Moses' wife didn't like it. She said, you can have your bloody religion. I don't want that stuff. That's gross. You know, the cross is not a pretty sight. Most churches, you know, we don't want that. We don't want that kind of stuff. We're too good for that. We're too spiritual for that. Have you ever been around really religious, self-righteous people? I am every single day, basically. I mean, I have been. It's evil. I said this the other day, but Jesus wasn't hard on the sinners. He was hard on who? The Pharisees. He was hard on the religious leaders. Think about this, and we read it in the beginning. I'm keeping on going here. Think about this. The Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, it said they met. I'm going to read it again. They said they met. The soldiers came to them, said, look. I don't know what they said. They saw an angel coming. They were terrified, probably. I was going to say something else. They were terrified, so they were probably shaking. Told them what happened. Well, the Pharisees, the religious leaders of Israel, knew beyond a shadow of a doubt at that time that Jesus was the Son of God. And it's even this day in Israel. They say that his body was stolen away. The Sanhedrin was the 70, the group of elders, the group that ruled Israel. It was a theocracy. That's why we don't want theocracy. We do believe in separation of church and state in that way. We don't want the Southern Baptist Church in the White House. Amen. We don't want one denomination ruling this country telling us we can't be Pentecostal. Amen. But they came to the whole group. So at that time, they knew. They knew. They knew that Jesus was who he said he was. You don't raise Christ from the dead. You don't have an angel from heaven come and roll away the stone. You don't have all the miracles, all the earthquake that happened in the temple, the veil in the temple being torn from top to bottom when he died, and dead people rose out of the grave and stood hung around a little while before they ascended up into heaven. You don't have all this stuff happen and Jesus not be who he said he was. He said he was the Son of God. He said he was going to be crucified and 3 days later rise again. So they knew. And they rejected him. How many today and throughout the years in the church know that Jesus is the Son of God? Know they're not really right, but they don't want to give up position and power and authority, whether it's the Pope or somebody that's Baptist or Methodist or Pentecostal or Presbyterian or whoever. And they don't want to give up their position because in order to do that, they would have to truly get saved and repent of their sins and be born again. And how many fight against that? I've felt it. You felt it in churches or different places in town or family or friends or work or whatever. They're religious and they will not give in and accept Jesus as their own personal savior. Because to do that, you have to admit that you're a sinner. You have to admit that you are a sinner. You can believe Jesus is the Son of God and not be saved. Of course, we have to believe on him, but we have to accept him as our personal savior. The demons believe and tremble, but they're not saved. Amen. Lucifer knew what was going on way back yonder, and he rebelled. How many people throughout the years and today in pulpits are not saved? They might know the Bible way better than I do. They might be really religious and be wearing robes this morning. They might have everything together and have a lot of power and money and authority. But if they haven't laid down their sins at the altar of Jesus Christ and asked him to come in and wash that individual person, wash their sins away, they are not saved. You need to be careful where you go to church, who you hang out with, what you listen to, Christian radio or whatever, and we're big on that, and we talked to Dan and Kate a lot about that. But just because it's got Christian lyrics don't mean it's a good song, amen. Just because somebody's up here preaching something don't mean that he's all right. And I'm not perfect, but I'm telling you the way to salvation this morning, amen. Let's just stand, and if y'all will come and sing, and we want to pray for whoever is not saved, amen, whoever needs to accept Jesus Christ. As I said, the importance of the Passover, they had to kill an animal and sprinkle the blood upon the doorpost to escape judgment, to be saved from judgment. And that's what's coming on this world, this country, everywhere. Judgment is coming. And if you're not covered by the blood, that little song that Brother Swigert sang, I will pass over you when I see the blood. When I sing it, Anna Kate, see the blood. If you need to come to this altar this morning, I will pray with you. If you have any type of sin in your life, come to this altar this morning. This is a very small church, for sure, not judgmental. Very small. It's a Pentecostal. We want the Holy Spirit to have His way. Anything in your heart, I plead with you to come to the altar this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
See the blood. I will pass over you. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life, so I could be free, so I could be whole. And I will tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life, so I could be free, so I could be whole. And I will tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life, so I could be free, so I could be whole. And I will tell everyone I know. Hallelujah. Glory to the God who changed my life. And I will praise you, I'll worship you, I'll give you glory forever, because I am free, because I am whole. And I will tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life, so so I could be free, so I could be whole. And I will tell everyone I know, you thought I was worth saving. You thought I was worth saving.
We're not in a hurry this morning. It's 11:35.
So you
not in a hurry.
My
Who else wants to come?
You thought I was worth
salvation.
Keeping.
To clean out something in their life.
So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for.
When I was 12 years old, I feel led to tell this story. I was 12. I was saved when I was 8. I grew up in church. Not a Pentecostal church, but I feel led to tell this story. I went to First Baptist, and I was 12 years old, and the Holy Spirit started moving on me. And he knew that was the time. Of course, 12 is very important. 12, Jesus was in the temple at 12, and the Jewish the custom, a 12-year-old, to become a man. And you know what? I rejected him. I rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. I rejected the Holy Spirit in my life. And I remember it like it was yesterday. And it happened week after week. For a few weeks, for several weeks. And I remember sitting there in the pew. And this is First Baptist Church, so it's not as much liberty as we have here. And I was sitting there in the pew reasoning with God. Well, if I go down there, people think I'm not saved. If I go down there, you know, I don't feel like I really need to, or whatever. I was saying all this in my mind. I was, because of reasoning, or arguing, really, with God. And after several weeks, I remember, because I didn't know what to do. And I would feel it every time, and they would sing every time, just as I am. Sing that, hold on, but sing that right at the end. Just as I am. And that next time, after several weeks, I was waiting for it. I was waiting for the Holy Spirit to deal with me so I could, I don't know what I would have done, but obviously I wouldn't have accepted him. And you know what? He wasn't there. And I remember it standing there in the back of the church, or on this side. And I thought, oh, wow, that's different. And I didn't feel it anymore. The Holy Spirit deals with you at certain times, and you need to respond. Because eventually he will leave and stop dealing with you. And it took me 10 years. I really strayed away from God and not getting into all that. But it took me 10 years to finally come back to the Lord. When you reject him, just like Pharaoh, God said Pharaoh. The Bible says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. You know why? Because he kept rejecting. Moses would come, let my people go. All these unbelievable miracles, you couldn't deny it. Let my people go. He kept rejecting, and his heart kept getting harder and harder and harder. And that's what happens to people when you reject the Holy Spirit. It gets harder and harder and harder to finally accept him. So I'm going to make one more plea, sing Just As I Am. Anybody that wants to come, I'll pray, but obviously we're not judgmental, and this is your time. Amen.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me to thee who God, I come. I come. And I come broken to be mended. I come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. And I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcomed with open arms. Praise God, just as I am.
Amen. Well, were you blessed this morning? I just want to lift up Jesus Christ. Thank the Holy Spirit for visiting us this morning. There's no service tonight. We'll have service Wednesday evening. Amen. Let's go in peace. Enjoy your Easter with your family. Amen. Play some shouting music to go at. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by the live service from Family Worship Center in Athens, Tennessee. Our weekly services are Sunday at 10:30 a.m., Sunday at 5:30 p.m., and Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Watch us live online at www.fwc-tn.com. You can also check us out on Facebook or YouTube. Family Worship Center is located at 250 County Road 378 in Athens, Tennessee. Send all correspondence to Family Worship Center, P.O. Box 118, Athens, Tennessee 37303. For more information, you can call the church at 423-744-0774.